You're listening to Ignite Your Success, a podcast that inspires fitness professionals to build a strong business that enables them to serve more people and engineer the lifestyle they desire. It's Brad Shepherd here, and together with Jason Yabanowicz, we're best known for running Trainer HQ, a community of passionate and profit-hungry fitness business owners that make a massive difference in others' lives every day. Each episode, we'll unpack for you exactly what's working and deliver best practice strategies so you can confidently grow your business and make a huge impact.
Coming to you live from Trainer HQ head office is Brad Shepherd.
Thank you.
I didn't think you were doing the intro, so you've nailed that.
Jason Urbanowicz.
Yeah, thank you. Fuck off.
Well,
I knew I shouldn't let you anywhere near those.
And what you're really here to see, Lynn Stewart.
Yeah. Hang on.
All right. Well, I guess we're started, eh?
Yeah, let's
go. I think so.
All right. So the statement, people, everyone needs a Lynn.
You do.
Fucking wait your turn.
It's going to be a long interview.
Everyone needs a Lynn, big fella. How do we put this into words?
I don't know, but is anyone who's got crackling going through their headphones?
Yes. I hope you
got the shit ones.
I hope it doesn't affect the sound quality.
That's all right.
What was the question?
Everyone needs a Lynn.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's the question.
Yeah.
It just sounds like a statement, doesn't it? Question. Where'd it come from as well?
Yeah, right.
Okay. So.
Yeah. Let's talk about that first. That's a good place to start, I reckon.
Mm.
Well.
A long, long time ago.
Lynn, you've been with us, what, 13 years, right?
I know.
13 years, and we'll get to that later.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that too. And Lynn's on the front line. Basically, let's be honest, she runs a business.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're the face, but...
I don't know how I feel about that. But
Lynn does. Let's say she runs a business.
Okay.
And has the opportunity to connect with all of our clients on a regular basis, touch base calls, and to check in, see how they're going, what if you're a New Zealand chicken, just trying to relate to our
Shout out to the Kiwis.
Shout out to the Kiwis, our
cousins.
Yeah.
And your, I guess, the level of customer service, professionalism, but also your ability to connect with these people on a personal level had led us to here on a regular basis. How do I get a Lynn? How do I get myself a Lynn?
That should be the first line on my dating app. How to get a Lynn. Details below.
Right, I'm going to leave that.
You place it in that. Jesus.
I'm going to leave it alone. So if you're looking for a hookup, just contact Trainer HQ's main website. Ask for Lynn. and that's how it started. Mm. It was the highest compliment, in my opinion, that we would get it all the time. Man, I'm finally hitting it. And so we got sick of hearing it, to be honest. What about us? Jokes aside, we went, it was that ultimate compliment of the work you do, to the point where then we got shirts made up with Everyone Needs a Lynn.
Yeah, I still have that.
You still have it? And
still
we
have
had,
it.
That's right. We said it to so many people where I need a Lynn, and we're like, everyone needs a Lynn. You know, that's where it went.
So this has been the opening to this podcast that I guess it sums up exactly how much – Lynn means to our company, but more importantly also to the clients that you get to work with over the last 13 years. So 13 years. Let's throw it to you now, because this is your podcast. You wouldn't know it, but it's your podcast.
You've been chomping at the bit to get on this, haven't you? You've been going, guys, when are you going to get me on this podcast?
Introverted ecstasy here.
13 years. Let's give everyone a snapshot of, and a lot of our clients won't know this, what were you doing prior to coming on board with Trainer HQ? What was your background, career? What were you doing?
Well, I've been in administration for quite some time in various roles. I've worked as an executive secretary to the director of TAFE.
Right.
That's where I mainly started out, in admin.
Yeah.
I've worked for Energex companies, so tree lopping and out of the, you know, electrical wires, keeping people safe during storms.
You would be perfect for that.
I coordinated a lot of teams in disaster areas for that.
OH&S.
OH&S.
It's right up your alley.
Absolutely. I've also worked in industries of transport, RTOs, that sort of thing, and financial planning. Yeah.
Quite wide amount of industries.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it was not what I thought I was going to go into initially. I was going to be a lawyer, would you believe?
Right.
Wow. But somehow...
Objection.
Sustained. Your Honor. That's how I killed him, Your Honor. But yeah, I guess I fell into admin and then found that it was something that, well, I believe that I was really good at. So I stuck with it.
Definitely. We can definitely vouch for that. That's for sure.
Thank you.
So what was it, 2009? You would have seen an ad for a business then called Trainer HQ. 2010.
I started in May 2010.
May 2010. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember seeing the ad on Seek and the page came up and I had a look into the company and there was your two mugs there and trying to get a sense of, okay, how do I feel about staring at these two on a daily basis and reading up about Create PT Wealth.
Yep. Yeah. You got a couple of knuckleheads.
It was very exciting. And I just looked at that ad and what you guys were doing and just something inside of me said, this is my job. That's cool. How I felt.
That's cool. And at that time, you had both
kids, very young children at home, yep. I was working from home previously. I was in a position with an RTO, so I was already set up to work from home technically. Oh, okay. So moving into this role, that was an easy move in that sense.
300 applicants for that job at that time.
That were the days.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it wasn't your first paid job, it was part of your pre-screening to try and get in. You had to write the letter to all the people that missed out on the job, didn't you?
I couldn't believe it when I read that. Are you serious?
We narrowed it down, didn't we? What was it? Top six, top ten thereabouts we had. And we're like, here's the next step. And there's a number of steps in the process. And we're like, well, there's a bunch of people. There's 299 people that are going to miss out on this job. You've got to write the letter to those people. What did you write? You wrote, hey, guess what? Tough shit. I got in, you didn't.
I remember that because I think it was down to the top three, didn't we? There was three of you that were in the running.
Shortlisted, yeah.
And I remember someone had cancelled themselves out because they went, no, I'm not doing the follow-up stuff that we wanted people to do to see them in action. So that cancelled that person out, which is, you know, a side note. It does show you, hey, like showed us a lot about that person that they weren't prepared to do anything that went beyond to get the job. So we went, well, that's not Trainer HQ material. So they did us a favour and it was down to yourself and another lady.
Yep.
And I remember getting in the mail. We got in the mail. You actually had mailed us in. Was it all your CV?
It was a thesis of all the work.
I remember just using it for the fire that weekend. But
I had my computer monitor sitting on it for months. It was
it was 15 pages of report.
Yeah, and this was just a hey, if you could knock together a few of these things and show us your work. And Janine, who was in your role at the time, came to us and she was like, oh my God, you have got to see what this lady has put together and what she's done.
And it's a good lesson though, because I mean, that was definitely one of the key things that went right. I mean, look at the extra mile. And we're, as a company, that's what we want, Trainer HQ and our culture, the person's prepared to go to that next level and it certainly did it. So it's a good, I think that again is a good illustration of your character and your work ethic and your ability to follow through. So yeah, it was definitely an impressive part of it all. So that was cool. It's good recapping this too.
Yeah, and there's a number of ways people could look at that. So if you can cast your mind back to that time, Lenny, and I'm being serious here. Like some people might look at that and go, fuck off, look at all this work they want me to do and all that sort of stuff. What a pain in the ass, takes time, all that. Can you remember what your mindset was back then, like leading into it? Was it, you know, where did you come from?
I had a look at it and I thought, well, this is an opportunity for me to showcase what I am capable of. So why wouldn't I want to do that, right? All of the things that were listed were stuff that I knew I could do.
Yeah.
I even created a Microsoft database.
You did.
I did.
Yeah.
I think I sent the link through for that because I could not print a database, right? But I created one. and I just wanted to show that I knew this was my position and here's how I show you. I can answer your tasks. Not a problem.
Yeah, and once again, just the displaying that type of mindset, that abundance mindset, the opportunity mindset, instead of looking at it as a job, as a task, as a pain in the butt, you know?
Yeah.
Such a testament to, like, everything that you do along the way.
Sweet. You got poked again.
Go all right. Now, you've started with this.
Yes.
Can you take your mind back to what, I mean, that first, let's go the first month. Can you remember what that was like?
Shit, I was freaking out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, it was a completely different, like, admin at a core, you have a certain level of skills, right? But every job you walk into, they've already got ideas of what they want done, how they want it done, you know, different scopes of things that you're dealing with that you have to be familiar with. But not only that, I'm dealing with two dynamic people who've got distinct different personalities, right? Hello.
Several between us, really.
Me having most. But it was about trying to, you know, take all of that in and be really observant and also get my head around everything that was required, because I wanted from the client's perspective everything to be seamless, regardless of the fact that I'm new and there should be some allowances for that. I didn't want any allowances to happen. I wanted to just hit the ground running. So I was really, I don't know how you'd say it, just trying to absorb as much as possible in the shortest amount of time.
Yeah, because you were right at the start of, you know, our company forming and you've been there the whole time for the growth that we've experienced. So, yeah, hearing you say that, and there's been a lot of growth over that period of time, and you played a huge part in, I guess, the right systems and structure and procedures and all those things that, you know, make a business be able to scale efficiently and effectively. Anything that stands out that it was just like going, fuck, you know, in terms of the role, like this is going to be a nightmare, or was there anything that's along those lines where you went, oh, I'm not sure this is going to, you know, pan out?
I guess because I mentioned earlier I'm introverted, so doing events.
Sorry, as you were.
As I was.
I think though it's like you choose to be introverted at times.
At times. Well, at that time.
I could choose to be one too.
Well, of course. But
I'm not
going to
say anything for the rest of this talk now.
For the rest of this corner. 5 seconds, he'll be
and I'm back.
It won't last.
But I'm glad you said that, because that's the thing I was thinking about. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, well, at that time I was choosing to be introverted quite a bit, and having to go to events and greet people as they were arriving and interact with complete strangers and have them interested in what I had to say, as well as make them feel welcome and then do support at the event, was completely out of my realm of possibility at the time.
And we could just pause there, because did you just come from the role? You said you were, because you're at home, so I guess you weren't interacting with people in the office or...
No.
And was that mainly just logistics work? Were you doing more back-end stuff, or were you dealing with people at any capacity in that role like you are now?
Not as much.
No.
It was more back-end systems and stuff like that.
And it would have been phone calls of anything, right? Not in person, which is what you're talking about now.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and I mean, you know, I'm generally pretty shy too, so I have, like, when I was at TAFE, I used to have to do face-to-face roles quite a bit because I was there a lot, but that was quite a while before I started here.
And on the back end of that, then we went through that growth phase where we started doing more events and we pretty quickly built in the short space in time to doing 15, 16 of those two-day events all around the country, four in Sydney, four in Melbourne, four in Brisbane, we fly to Perth and plus other events. So you went from sort of zero to 100 in that aspect, didn't you?
Yes.
Because there was the management of everybody, like booking everybody in, confirming all that part, then flying down interstate, meet and greet, all that part as well.
Mm.
30 to 50 people at an event. There was a lot of people you got to meet in a short space in time, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was. Squeeze in a little bit, and this is what it was like to fly with these guys. I had to lean forward because they took all up the arm space, right?
So if you're listening to this on Spotify audio,
It's
tight. There's not a lot of room.
Starting.
Yeah, she's squashed.
Yeah. Well, I guess we sort of got 1.25 seats each.
Yes.
You got 0.5 of a seat in the middle, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
And sometimes. You're great at flying too, aren't you? Because you never get like sick or anxious or any of that sort of stuff. Could you explain a bit about the flying part?
I brought a lot of good luck to our flights. We experienced a great deal of turbulence every time I was on board.
Oh,
which
fuck, we did
too.
You were a jinx to us.
We never had it unless you were on the plane. And
you jinxed every motherfucking flight we were on together.
I put the energy out there and the universe provided. Let me tell you, and when you're experiencing turbulence and you're already squashed like a sardine,
you weren't going anywhere.
Much.
Yeah. The worst bit. Is good for us, not for you. But the more crook you started getting and the more you started freaking out, the more we started laughing and not taking it seriously, didn't we?
Yeah. I was there definitely to provide entertainment, and it's good to know that I could still do that at those points in time.
Yeah.
Oh, so funny, the memories.
I've got a lot more, but we probably won't go into it. The things that we used to get up to on that plane.
We're trying to combine 13 years into a half an hour podcast.
Challenging.
Yeah.
Let's talk about clients for a moment because, you know, 200 plus clients every year, all these years, the 16 years of us, the 13 years you've been here. Look, geez, you've met hundreds, thousands of people that you've spoken to at all these events and people that have become clients. So could you tell us, I don't know, an observation on what you've seen those that have, I guess let's talk about active clients who have been on the coaching program and so forth. What are some of the attributes you've seen of these people that have, you know, gone on to create success and do the type of things that they set out to do?
Yeah, I guess what I know as a fact is the people that I classify as action takers, it's in their energy, the energy they put out. It projects in their voice when I'm talking to them, number one. It's in their openness, like they want to absorb information. They want to find out what they don't know. They want to make changes and they're not adverse to doing that. So just having that real open mindset and willingness, really, that absolute willingness. I guess everyone's got things happening in their life. I've heard lots of things about different people. Have kept that secret, by the way, everyone. but what I've noticed is that...
But John, if you're listening...
So sorry, mate.
Fucking sick, mate. Sick.
Could not help it. but what I've noticed is that, yes, everyone has a lot of things going on in their life. That's just the way life is, right? And it's the people that embrace the fact that that is going to happen, that that's not going to change. Like life is going to throw so much at you. But what do you really want? What do you really want to achieve? And actually trying to find ways to make it happen and keeping very open to that process. Those are the people that I see succeed.
Mm. Yeah, it is fascinating seeing, you know, when you do get to meet so many people, you hear similar stories and, you know, same, different person, similar stories, similar mindsets, attitude.
Mm.
And I know after all these years yourself, I know myself, I can be speaking to somebody on a blueprint, like literally just before we did
Mr.
this.
Mr. Action Taker.
You know, this particular gentleman, you know, was referred, recommended from a client of ours and... You know, has a full-time job, part-time PT. I said, could you meet today at 11? Because I just got the inquiry. Took, you know, his boss won't be watching this. I haven't said any names anyway. I won't say what he does either. But took the day off to meet. And I'm like, you took the day off? He goes, yeah, I want to get this. I want to get success. I want to be helped. I'm new to all this, six months in. I want to get out of the job. I want to be, you know, full-time and doing the PT. And, you know, and within the course of an hour, I'd signed up, you know, based on the obviously the recommendation of the the person who referred, and that's what I love. I just go on that person's going to be successful.
Yes.
You know, starts his job early, finishes, goes to the PT, home late, just doing what it takes to make it, where other people will just any reason or excuse not to actually do what's required, they'll also find that avenue as well. So we do get to meet a lot of these people. So
And that's not to say that, you know, what you're going through in life is not, you know, important and have an impact, but it's how you deal with the impact of it that makes a difference,
yeah.
right?
I was
how
say
you
focus fucking on it. Piss week myself, but yeah, go on.
Wow. I don't think that.
No.
You guys talking to me anyway, so it's all right.
And see, all that emotional intelligence training I've done for the last 20 years has really paid off. The way
it really
I talk
has.
To people, it's just smooth.
Well, so well put, Lydia. And I guess what I hear from that is coachable from those words that you say. It's just like when you got that person just open, receptive, they're humble, they want to learn. It's like that journey that never ends of going that continuous, never-ending improvement, which is really cool.
Here's something that, like, we reflect back, and, you know, you're stating that the ability to choose to be an introvert, and you used to hear a lot of people's stories, right? And the thing that I've observed, and you know, as what this, I feel like this role has brought out in you, but also you had to want to change in that area, is the ability to compassionately but assertively also not buy into people's stories that aren't conducive to them changing, right?
Yes.
So, and you meet them where they are, but you also have found the ability to also challenge them on their thinking in a compassionate way so they can change, which I think is such a great skill to have, and something that's, you know, for our coaches, if you're a coach, if you've got the ability to do that, is excellent. So talk a little bit about that. So from when, I guess, you first started and maybe not feeling confident in doing that to where you are now, and what really changed for you in order for that to happen?
I guess from the background that I came from originally, with it being corporate, everything that you did, you had to run it past, you know, the powers that be, and get their approval before you could say or do anything. And it was always that whole, you know, customer's always right, follow our procedures, do not upset anyone, blah, 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 blah. And so I guess when I was having calls with people and they were telling me things, there was a part of me that was like, gee, I want to say something to this person, you know, at the moment. But it was a part of me, it was like, really don't know if I can. Like, am I allowed to say this? Am I allowed to have some thought patterns here? Mm. Or should I just be absorbing all of this and passing it on, kind of thing? Mm. So that's how I was to start with. The more comfortable I got within myself, the role and understanding the types of people that I was dealing with, the more comfortable I got with actually stepping up to who I truly have always been. And that's a person who always does come from compassion, because I really do give a shit, right? Genuinely give a shit. And then, but also being able to say, but hey, have you noticed this? Or can you see what you're saying here, and have you thought about this? Not saying that my way is the correct way, but it's a different perspective.
Well, right? Getting them to think about it differently. So what I've heard you say is like, that's the problem. Well, where's the solution in this? Like, you know, I guess it's helping people to come up with their own solutions is the best skill we can have, in my opinion. Go and, you know, reflecting back on what they're saying, and do you want to stay that way, or are you looking to change, find a solution? And that's the part I've seen that you really develop and do really well.
Thank you.
You know, so from a company point of view, you go, you not only got your coach that will have that skill set and ability to do it, but, you know, you're also going to get it from the front end as well when you're doing your check-in calls. And
yeah,
you know, I think it's rare to find that. A lot of people want to do the tell and sell and or not speak up because they're concerned about maybe upsetting somebody. But, you know, I guess with us, that culture and that ability to do that flows all the way through.
Yeah.
Even the cleaner fucking told me to pull my head in this morning when I walked in because I was whinging about something. It's like the cleaner. So, you know, you can get wisdom from anywhere.
You really can.
And that, what's that? What difference has that made for you personally, Lenny, that development?
I thought you were going to say for me with the cleaner. So he was exactly right.
I paid the cleaner, so I'll have to thank them later.
Cleaner's now dead, unfortunately, because I spoke up to the wrong person.
I go, I'll take that on board, but now I'm going to have to kill you.
Yeah, you're done.
No, I wish we had a cleaner.
Yeah. Thanks.
Well, that's right. You do it.
I do it. Yeah,
not a strong point.
Really?
I haven't of recently.
This year?
We won't pan around the office.
This year. What that's done for me is I've gotten over my ability to not speak up. I really struggled with that for quite a long time. Won't go into the background, but yeah, it's a childhood thing that became a habit that I adopted, and I felt that what I had to say wasn't really worth hearing anyway. Well, that's what I was telling myself, right? But the more interaction I had with people and the more I felt comfortable with just saying, you know, I'm just going to say how I feel and see how it, you know, it resonates with someone else, the more I found it did. The more people, I've always got this thing, the more vulnerable you are with people and open you are with people, the more ability you have to connect. And so it's about being comfortable with that. So sometimes, you know, there's people have things going on, there's shame behind it, there's guilt, there's anger, there's so many different emotions, right? But what you got to understand is we all have those emotions, and the first thing I say is be okay with that. Be okay to voice that and talk about it, because you might actually find that there's someone there that truly understands what's going on, and you'll feel like the weight lifted, right? And you'll also get the opportunity to get assistance. If you don't speak up, you don't get assistance, right, because no one knows what's going on. Awesome. So I've really enjoyed that side of it, and that has allowed so many connections to develop with people, right? Because, you know, they feel comfortable in telling me stuff, and I feel comfortable in listening and trying to see if I can provide assistance as well. So it's been a two-way street.
Yeah, and also back to being able to call people on their stuff, on their stories, all that part. So it's so cool. And it's coaching 101, you know, and you're leading from the front with that. And that's all part of our customer care.
Well, I'm sure people are listening to this or watching it have gone, and they're mine, I need a Lynn. I need someone like that to be able to hear me, speak to me. Yeah.
And others are going, fuck, I was running a story to Lynn too, and she called me straight up on it.
She goes, yeah, I'm guilty.
Let's talk about death for a moment, because Lynnie, when we've run all these events, right, 137 of these two-day workshops over the years, and we know that unfortunately, when we run one of these events, somewhere, someone in the world is going to die, don't we?
Yeah, that's why we do need a cleaner.
Why do we know that?
That's called, isn't it? Get rid of the dead bodies.
What? How does that come about?
It's a gift and a curse, really. Every time we run an event, definitely we all know there is going to be someone that passes away. Not to make light of that. I'm really sorry that happens, right? But it's a theme for us. Over the amount of time, you do start to see a theme. So there's always someone that passes away, or there is an emergency. There is literally an emergency.
It's a family emergency. No details required.
Yeah.
Because that person couldn't make it to the seminar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, look, again, we're not making light of people if someone has passed away. And unfortunately, there's probably cases where it has happened.
Yeah, exactly.
But the theme is there. Family emergency, something really urgent's popped up, or there's been a death in the family, and we can't help but wonder that's bullshit.
And you're organising these seminars, Lynny, right from the get go. So I mean, there's blood on your hands. We know that for sure.
It's all my fault.
We're sweet, but
sorry, guys. Yeah, I have a secret affliction, obviously.
It's I guess it's like in the you know, when you're a PT and you're in the all the same reasons why someone can't make the session all of a sudden, and like you think you've never heard that one before. They think they're the cleverest people. They wouldn't never have heard this one before.
Yes,
let's use that one.
Yeah, the dog ate the homework. Yeah, deal. And that's fine. I mean, because we're going to come across people who, you know, have the reasons that they use so they can feel okay with not coming to an event.
Can you just, if you just send through the death certificate,
I have wanted to so bad.
A photo by the casket, that'd be
excellent. Yeah, I've wanted to so bad. But those are one of those times where I do actually shut myself up, because I could get in trouble for asking for things like that. But
Interesting thing to bring up though.
Yeah, excuse me. Can you fax? Oh, we don't have fax. That's how long I've been around. Can you send me a screenshot of the
corpse?
That's really gruesome.
I'm out of the morbid stuff, you know. 13 years, how many times have you been in trouble from us?
Am I meant to answer that honestly?
Well, I don't know. I'm not really sure.
I remember there was this one time where I had forgotten to do a task, and we were in Sydney at the seminar, and I looked over at Jason and I'm like, oh man, I'm so sorry, I haven't done this, it slipped me. And he just stood there very stoic, as he does, and he's quite tall, right, and scary with those biceps. But he just looked at me and he goes, yeah, I know you haven't done that. I'm very, very disappointed in you.
Did I?
Yeah, you did.
Was I joking, though?
No.
Oh.
Well, you probably were internally, but you sure as hell weren't showing it to me.
I'm fucking clueless in this scenario you're talking about. I have no memory of it at all.
And that was all he needed to say.
Right.
It hit me in the heart.
Thousands of dollars later in therapy sessions, and you get to unpack it now.
Yeah. I do.
What would you have liked to turn around to him and said at that moment?
Stop looking at me like that.
All right. Now, on the way.
Oh,
I'll probably say, fair enough.
That's it. That's all you would have said.
Yeah, because he was freaking me out.
What did you do?
I think
what
I
didn't
was,
you do by the sounds of it?
I didn't reach out to someone on a certain day to get them signed up, because we were signing a lot of people up, and right. I'd missed a text message about signing someone up.
And what happened?
I called them straight away and signed them up and apologized.
All right, done.
Yeah. but it was one of those times where I was like, shit, Lynn. Don't screw up.
I thought you were going to say about the time where you got incredibly drunk and you couldn't back up the next day. That's what I thought you were going to say.
I can never back up the next day.
As we found out.
That's just my MO.
That was one of our first find out times, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
We were down in Melbourne, 2-day seminar, ladies and gents, just to paint the picture.
Here we go.
Day one of the seminar. It was the best deal in the world, wasn't it? We had this seminar venue. Great. And it was like, what was it, $500 a day?
Yeah.
$1,000 for 2 days to use this seminar venue, which was a cool venue. But we give you that same amount of money in credit to spend downstairs in the pub.
Holy crap.
So we were lunching, and so we'd finish the event on day one. We'd have a few drinks. We'd have a bite to eat, wouldn't we? We were all jolly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we went back to this apartment, and you, for some reason, grabbed a bottle of scotch, didn't you?
Well, that's because we had been drinking scotch quite a bit over dinner.
We're a little bit jolly, and we're all tired. You know, let's crash out. Everyone off to their respective bedrooms, ready for the next day. And you, no mixer either with that scotch. Just
straight into it.
You
wasn't that when you were singing around the apartment, Bon Jovi?
I was singing a lot of things. Yeah. I was singing my heart out while these two were trying to.
I remember at that point, God, there's no fucking way she's backing up tomorrow.
Yeah, I was on a high.
So I think then the next morning we were all up and at 'em, weren't we, big fella? Yeah. We were doing our thing. We probably did a workout. We came home, no Lynn, you know, and I think we got this sheepish text message from the shut door in the other bedroom going, guys, I'm going to be a bit late today. So we're like, fair enough. We take off. We do the event. We keep getting text messages. Guys, I'm not great. I've got to get out of the – I've got to check out at 10. Guys, I've got an extension till 11. Guys, they've extended me to 12.
Yeah, you were – you were fucking useless that day.
Yeah, I did turn up though, everyone. I did actually turn up because they proceeded to then make fun of me for the rest of the event, as you would. I was an example.
Of course we did.
Which I deserved, right? But yeah, there was no stopping that the chunder, as us Australians like to call it. That chunder was just coming out of me, and I was trying to coax it so very much to stay down so I could do my job.
And
just wasn't happening.
Of course, being 2,000 plus kilometres away from home is exactly what you want to be at that point in time, isn't it, when you're feeling like that?
I do remember I had packed a protein cookie. This was before the vomiting happening. And you know how you get hungry when you've been drinking and you're in an apartment and there's no food, right, because it's a serviced apartment, you have to bring food. And I had this protein cookie that I desperately opened and dropped onto the floor, as you do, because you're uncoordinated, and it smashed all over the floor. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, I was on my hands and knees eating it out of the carpet, because that's how smashed I was that night. So that should give you a picture of why I could not back up.
I probably would have left that part out.
I think that's funny. I think you might as well just, if you're going to paint me as a, you know, rebel alcoholic here, I might as well let you know I eat protein cookies off the floor.
It's where the introvert really
hits the right.
Yeah, that was the start of the death of the previous me.
But we had a chat to you, didn't we? We said, well, jokes aside, Mm. You're going to drink, you got to back it up. And that that's another one of their high values at Trona HQ.
Yeah, I've never drunk at a seminar again.
No, not where you had to back up
the next day. Yeah, no. End of year events, different though.
All right, so what is it about Trona HQ that has kept you here for 13 years?
Oh, well, that's easy. You two. That's what I was supposed to say, right?
No, I wouldn't have said that at all. I just...
Well, that's the truth. Well, besides you two, because after 13 years, you would think I'd like you by now to some degree, right? So,
That's why we only have you in the office once a week.
Yeah. Being that I like them and they don't like me very much, right?
Well, it's probably the key for most personal relationships.
Yeah, know? Distance.
Only see your partner once a week.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, because then it's really quality when you're together, right? So... So we've got that nailed. You guys are so dynamic. I call you behind your back the dynamic duo. You're always thinking of new things, pushing the envelope. What can we do next? You live and breathe everything you do. So there's a level of passion in what you guys do that it's very addictive to be around, for starters. Since I'm not drinking anymore, I have to get my pheromones. I have to get my addiction elsewhere. No, just kidding. But your passion is so high, and you truly believe in what you are doing and delivering. Whereas in other positions that I've been in, it was just a job, and it always felt like just a job because it was like, okay, well, you know, we've got to do this, get paid, you know, ho-hum, go home and, you know, start another day the next day, rinse and repeat. Whereas here it's like, okay, well, what's this day going to look like? Mm. What's going to happen? Who are we going to be surrounded by today, you know, and what are we going to change? What are we going to inspire today? And I feel that's the main driving force in relation to being around you two. Mm-hmm. The other one would be the fact that I have really embraced the role over the years, and it's something that I know that I contribute to. So I have a level of satisfaction within myself of starting every day. And having that sense of feeling like I'm home is how it feels for me. Mm. So that part has kept me here as well. But also the clients.
Yeah.
I meet so many people, obviously, not always face-to-face, but, you know, on phone calls or Google Meet or, you know, sometimes at events, which is really awesome as well. And you guys literally floor me. You inspire me, the things that I see happen from talking to people when they first sign on to doing the calls and saying, hey, do you realize you've just achieved that? Because I always talk to the people, what were your goals when you first, started your conversation? What are you doing now? Have you achieved it? And the biggest one for me was I had a call with someone who's been on the program for quite a while. I won't say any names. And I said to them, okay, so how are your goals tracking, you know? How are the finances going? What are you turning over at the moment? They told me. And I always look back to what they told me, the previous touch base, and I was like, do you realise in 3 months you've doubled your income? Mm. And silence, dead radio silence. And I'm like, hey, hang on, are you there? Are you there? And the person comes back to me and goes, oh, my God, you're right. I've really done that, haven't I? And I just broke out in complete goose flesh. I was like, this is a moment. We have just had this moment. You know, there was nothing said because it just hit so hard that this person had achieved that in 3 months. And I live for that shit.
Yeah.
I love it. I love seeing that happen. It's just, it juices me, right?
That's cool. Yeah. Mm. It's cool. And it's what I would want to hear, you know, as you know, somebody started this with Brad all these years later. And I think that, that definitely not think. I know it ripples effect all the way through our coaches, our clients, everything. You said that, that's what I love about it. When you say about it feels like home, well, we hear our clients say, hey, big fella, go on, end of your event that's Inspire that we've got coming up in a couple of weeks. What do people say? It feels like I'm coming home. They get to meet, everyone catches up. And I'm glad that as we've grown and scaled that's still there. We're still bound to maintain that because that's sometimes a risk when you do grow that can be lost. But hearing you say that it's excellent.
And that's the one thing that is a resounding comment on touch bases as well, is that level of sense of community that is said across the every time I say what's a highlight about being on the program with us. Without a doubt, you know, it's always, you know, the coaches. We've got great coaches, as everyone knows. But it's that community. Mm. They feel like they're a part of something. they feel really well looked after. They can get information from so many different sources, and everyone actually wants to see everyone succeed.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the resounding thing. And so you do, you'd start to feel like you're part of a family, something bigger than yourself. But they're also so impressed that they don't feel like just a number, you know, just another person on the program. Mm-hmm. Often, you know, they'll say, I can't believe that person remembered that about me. I can't believe they knew that straight away. And I'm like, that's because, you know, we actually practice what we preach. We do care about what's going on with every single person.
It's so cool. And this is why I say to people, like when I'm introducing someone to the company, I go, Lynn, 13 years being here, like if you want to ask anybody what it's like to be involved with us and, you know, become involved with us, then, you know, speak to Lynn. She's been here 13 years, seen the growth, seen what's happened, what's occurred, everything you've just said then. So I go, don't just hear it from us. Like, go and ask Lynn.
Yeah.
You know, couldn't ask a better person.
Thank you.
That was been like. For me, like, I, and it's another opportunity just to publicly and to acknowledge, you know, the effort, the energy. It's almost like the words don't do it any justice. I've lost and I've struggled to find the words that really marry up how much your dedication and time with us and everything you do means. It's just there's not the right words for it.
Thank you.
Other than just saying thank you, but because that really for me means a lot. When I say thank you, it's not just a thank you. It's like the feeling inside I get is 1,000 times that word. So, yeah, we certainly wouldn't be able to grow on the scale without your effort, energy, but you treat the business like it's your own, and that's what I love. There was plenty of years where you worried more about it than what we did in terms of stuff, you know, which again is what you want from someone in your team. So yeah, I get for me, it's just always, you know, so grateful having the team and everything you do.
Thank you.
Yeah, I second that. And that word, the phrase we would say is Lynn bleeds Trainer HQ, and that's exactly what you've done over that time. You've just carried it. You've made it yours in the way you lead the rest of the team, our 10 coaches, our sales and support team. All that part is just phenomenal. And, yeah, it's just so great to watch. I'd also say back to that thing of like Lynn was at one point in time would stress out more than us, big fella. Like we've got phone calls from years ago going, guys, you know, our expenses are X and we need X. And we'd be like, yep, okay, cool. And you'll be like, I haven't slept last night and I've been thinking about it. But I'd say now, Lynn, do you reckon you've changed in that area? I reckon you have.
Yeah, I have, and it's not because the level of care is less or anything like that, but it's more that I've developed the you guys, when you say you're going to do something, you just make it happen. It's like watching magic. And so now it's just a case of, okay, well, here's where we're at, and I just sit back and watch it happen. Magic.
That's phenomenal. All right. Well, that leads us to, I guess, the wrap up. Any final parting words, Lenny, that you want to leave with everybody?
It's just a pleasure to be here. It's an absolute pleasure to be involved with all of the clients. I've made some really cool friends from the connections. Hey, Danny, Fiona, and there's other people, sorry. And I can't wait to see everyone at the end of year event. And yeah, I guess the only thing that's going to change now, I'll keep the service levels as is, but I'll just go a little bit grayer. So, you know.
And if you want that Lynn, you can't have Lynn, but the next best thing is get into our coaching programs, get into our community, and you can have access to it. We're not going to give it to you. You can have access
He's
to it. And that's
out.
The next best thing.
We might even give you one of our stubby coolers that says everyone needs a Lynn.
Yeah, we could do that. All right. You're an absolute legend.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lenny. You're awesome.
Thank you. Love you all.